Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Career Failures, Chapter 1, Missing a Number. Here we go. Folks, if you don't know about it, one of our most popular products is our interview series, 63 podcasts, 30 hours worth of detailed information about how to be effective in interviews. Incredibly detailed, how to answer questions, how to form your questions, how to close, how to follow up, everything it takes to be successful in transition. So Wendy, we're finally getting around to talking about career failures. We don't talk about failures that much because we try to encourage people to not fail. But that said, we're going to tell you what the big failures are, why they matter, and how to recover from them. And the first one is one that, frankly, people are going to be surprised about because they think ticking off your boss is the issue. And that's not. I mean, yeah, you want to have a good relationship with your boss, but far more important, the most important thing in your career is delivering results. And the opposite of results early in your career is missing a number.
And missing a number lives with you forever, whereas annoying your boss one day will probably, you'll be forgiven eventually.
Yeah, let's at least be clear though. Missing a number, folks, when we say missing a number is a quantified metric of your performance. Number of sales calls to make, quality percentages, reduction in time, reduction in cost, anything related to how your job is measured. Now, some of you are listening and saying, well, you know, gee, that doesn't really apply to me because my job doesn't have any numbers. There are two possibilities there. One is you're right, and that's too bad. It's wrong in many, many cases for people to not have numbers. Sometimes, though, those numbers are buried in that they're not in your job description, but your numbers come up in the form of projects and deadlines and budgets and deliverables and so on. The other thing is that there are actually numbers, and you just don't know them. And one final thing, and you should, and one final thing, don't assume that because your job doesn't have numbers that somehow that's good. You may think, well, that way they really can't get rid of me because there's no quantification and I can say, I did well. Well, if you think you did well and your boss didn't, your boss is going to win. So for the vast majority of us, we want quantified metrics because that way, if you make them, it's really hard to say you didn't achieve the results we paid you for. So be clear about what we say, what we mean when we say numbers. Okay. So Wendy, take us away.
Okay. So we're going to go through don't miss numbers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's the easiest way to not need this cast. Don't miss the number. Report early. Don't let missing limit your career. And then we're going to do recovery in two pieces, recovering from an early career miss and recovering from a late career miss, because those are two different things.
Yep. Okay, good. So don't miss numbers. Obviously, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and as you were saying, there's more of us whose results are governed by hitting numbers than you might think. Like when you think of people who have numbers to hit, you always think of sales first. But, you know, project managers have budgets to hit. Customer service has satisfaction numbers to hit. Manufacturing has output numbers to fit. Shipping has delivery numbers to meet. In fact, if you don't have a number, you should have a number, whatever.
Yeah.
Because everything can be measured. And if you don't think it can be measured, we have John and the Gate Guards cast that tells you how to measure unmeasurable things.
How to create proxies in order to create measures. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason that you want to have numbers is because it's such a black and white thing. There's no, I think I did well and my boss doesn't think I did well.
Right.
It's a black white pass fail. Nobody can debate if the number was 70,000 and you got 60,999, you didn't pass.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's no argument. And you can argue about the circumstances and whether or not the number was overtaken by events or there was some change in some other department as to why you missed the number. But the fact that you missed the number can't be argued.
Agreed.
And one of the reasons that numbers are important is because we say results and relationships are the two most important things in your career, and the numbers are the results. So there's like half your career is in those numbers. And for many people, the numbers are the results.
Yeah. And for many people, the stories we hear about careers we tend to overemphasize stories that are popular or that are well known and underemphasize the stories around us. The vast majority of people who get ahead in their careers are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Yes, there are exceptions where people are rude and loud and nasty and they get results. But the vast majority of people who get promoted are people who achieve their results, whatever those results are, and are perceived to be ready for the next level. Now, there are those of us who say when we have a job that is not measurable or not measured, let's put it that way, because everything's measurable, we say, well, why did he get, you know, why is he doing well? Well, if the job's not measurable, then a difference in 40 and 42 doesn't really matter, or if the job is not measurable in the minds of the boss, and then they pick somebody they like. Now, we don't necessarily agree with that, although there's a case to be made that likable people, all things being equal, will be better bosses than people who are not, because being a manager requires people skills. But far too many people think that, well, all you have to do is just meet the numbers and it doesn't matter. That's just not so in the vast majority of organizations. You have to meet your numbers and you have to get along with folks. And yes, some people do suck up to the boss and that's their entire career path. We don't recommend that because sooner or later those people will fail. And in fact, that's why there are a lot of middle managers who aren't very good at their work because they got promoted once or twice and they stand out. But the vast majority of people are doing good work and they're meeting their numbers. If you meet your numbers, everything becomes a great deal easier. And most of us, not most, a good plurality of people that I talk to are not clear about how they're doing. And of course, that's partially because their boss doesn't give them a lot of feedback. Meeting your numbers or not meeting your numbers is a form of feedback. Your boss doesn't even need to talk about them very much. But let's talk about goals a little bit. We've talked about goals before, yearly goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So talk about that for a minute.
So the guidance we've given before is, and we would continue to give, it's not like we changed it, but is the way to hit a number is to divide it by the time scale and then front load the first portion and then keep track. So if your goal is to hit $100,000 in sales in a year, then you divide 100,000 by 12, that's the number of months, which is $8,333. And then instead of saying, okay, I'm going to get 8333 each month, you front load the first month. So you say for months 1 to 6, I'm going to go for 10,000, because that gives you some leeway at the end of the year if things are going pear-shaped and you're not getting there. Or if you have a great first 6 months and you hit 10,000 and you then have a great second six months,
exactly.
then you've like done 120,000. So you've blown your goal out of the water. And it doesn't matter whether you set a goal per call, per shift, per day, per week, per month, per year. The formula always works.
Yep.
If you use that formula. And then you have to keep track of it.
And to be clear, this is backwards from what most people do. People ask us this all the time about development goals, and they say, yeah, you know, my boss didn't check, and so I'm behind. I haven't done anything in the first 6 months of the year. And everybody forgives everybody, it seems like. But the way to be seen as successful is to get 60% ahead halfway through the year when everybody else is 0% ahead on their development goals. You work hard in the first part of the year to meet your numbers. You work hard in the first part of the year because we promise you something will happen. There's always something. I mean, Murphy, and I just wrote about this and things. I think Murphy, the guy who's famous for coining Murphy's Law, if something can go wrong, it will go wrong. He's a West Pointer, just like Mike and I. And it's like, if you don't plan for it, it's going to bite you. So get ahead of the game so that you don't miss. And I'm sorry I interrupted. You were going to talk about keeping track of it. This is where so many people, they just expect the system to magically tell everybody, hey, he or she did it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's no use setting a goal in January and not looking to see how you're doing it until September.
Right.
And because companies have yearly evaluations or biannual evaluations sometimes, the tendency is to think, oh, I've got this goal in January, and then, oh, my evaluation is coming due in June, July. And you look at it then and think, like as you just said, okay, I've done nothing towards that. And that's You just moved all the work to 6 months instead of spreading it out over 12. So you want to set it and then check in the smallest increment that makes sense. So if you have to make 50 boxes per shift. Then you might check, how many do I have to do? If it's a 5-hour shift, I have to do 10 each hour, and I have to do 2 every 15 minutes. So you think to yourself, okay, 15 minutes, have I done 2? 15 minutes, have I done 2? And then, of course, you want to front load it. So in the first hour, you want to try and do 3 every 15 minutes.
Right.
If it's a year goal like the sales one, then you might only check at the end of each week or the end of each month. Weekly would be better to see how you're doing. So you have to think about the length of time you're working, the goal is over, and then the smallest increment that makes sense, because the smaller the increment, the quicker you know that you're off track.
There's a fundamental misapprehension in the professional world about how people meet their numbers. The story I always tell is Ross Perot, famous American billionaire, when he worked for IBM, when he started his career, he made his quota, his annual quota, on January 1st. He planned for it and made it. And then, of course, everything was gravy after that. Now, this was back when IBM could pretty much sell anything it wanted and was selling everybody every piece of big iron in the world. When I think about that story, what it reminds me of is the people I see who have way too much to do, and I'm talking about people at the top of large organizations, are exceptionally jealous of their own time. They're incredibly protective of it. They start each day thinking, I have to get everything done by noon. In fact, we've talked about this. We have a cast about this, about getting stuff done by noon. So that if you plan on getting it done by noon, the fact that you work with other people, you know, life would be a lot easier if there weren't other people. But if you plan on getting it done by noon, you might get it done by 3. And if you have an exceptionally bad day, you might get it done by the end of the day. And when you ask people, hey, do you have 15 minutes? You think they can move their schedule around. They can do whatever they want. And they say no. You say, oh, they're being selfish. Yeah, you could call it selfish if you want, but I like to suggest something different. They are engaging in the behavior that they wish everyone else would do as well, which if everyone was a little bit selfish about getting their own stuff done, which often includes talking to other people, admittedly, if everybody in the organization got everything they were supposed to do done, there wouldn't be all this frustration. And the more you have to do, and senior people have 5 times more to do than everybody else, and know they're never going to get it done, they're going to get the most important things done. And they're going to be very protective of their first few hours of the day, because they know everything begins to slow down and less gets done every hour of every day. More gets done between 8 and 9 than 9 and 10. More gets done between 9 and 10 than 10 and 11. And by 5 o'clock, nothing is getting done. Now you could argue that on a given day it's different than that, yes. But the overwhelming data show that if you're not done by noon, you're going to struggle to get stuff done. If you don't front load stuff, folks, you're going to miss. And then you're going to start wishing for a job that doesn't measure.
I have rescue time on my computer. It checks what you're doing, what programs you're in all of the time. And mine is shocking. It's shocking how little work you get done for a start.
Yeah, folks, like she just said that to her boss.
Because I'm an idiot. My first target was 2 hours a day because I get interrupted all the time. And some of my work isn't on the computer. You know, I'm reading or whatever. Yeah. I'm talking to people. I'm in meetings, same as everybody else. But I was shocked at how little I got done. But it also shows you the monthly graphs of what your best time is and what your best day is. And mine absolutely shows between 7 and 10 every day. That's when I get stuff done. But after 10 o'clock, it's, you know, 25, 75 was where I get something done.
And I know there are people who are listening who say, well, this is not really true because I'm a late afternoon. You know, I'm not a morning person. Yeah, we respect that, guys. We do. Although I have to say, if you're a developer and you think you're a morning person, I can assure you that it's not what you might think, but that's for another time. What happens is you may, in fact, be an afternoon person. That's fine. But a bunch of people have to be at work at 8 or 9 in the morning, and they start working on their stuff, and then they start asking people for help and wanted to talk to people, and people tend to live their lives day to day rather than thinking about the week as being one solid block of time. So what ends up happening is you think of yourself as being an afternoon person. Well, you start really hitting your stride, if you will, to coin a phrase, right around the same time people start asking everybody else to help them with their stuff. Frankly, guys, I believe this is one of the reasons, I know people won't like it, but this is one of the reasons why development efforts are often delayed, is because developers think that everybody else is just like them. They start their day at noon or 1 or 2 o'clock. And it's hard to get work done. Yeah, it is. And in part, it's because you are missing out on the time that is most productive for the vast majority of humans, which is morning. And I don't mean because they're morning people. I mean it's because they're trying to get their stuff done. They tend to leave you alone a little bit more in the morning than the afternoon, and you have a harder time to get more things done late in the day. It's the nature of human organizational work. It may not be fun. It may not be helpful to you. It doesn't matter. It's real. It's just the way people work. Yeah. Okay. All right. Enough about not missing numbers.
Not missing numbers. So
we should.
Hopefully you got all that and you didn't miss your number.
But this cast is not about that. Yeah. What do you do?
The first point is to report early. And one of the advantages of keeping such a close check on your progress is you do know the moment that you are going off track. If you set that goal of $10,000 a month as a salesperson, and in March you've only done an average of $5,000 for each month, you're way off your target. And two, you have now an opportunity to go to your boss and say, hey, the market changed. The customers aren't doing what I wanted to do. Our competitor has a promotion.
Yeah, look, it's even easier than that. We should, the unofficial title of this cast should be, hey, I'm going to miss. Okay? Guys, you're not just obligated to do your work. You're obligated to report on your work. This is an organizational principle that has existed since two people started working together. If you're not getting your work done, you're obligated not only to try to get the work done, but also to communicate if there's risk associated with you not getting your work done, which is to say missing a deadline. When you do work, you're responsible for the work and the communication, the status of the work at all times. It is inherent. It is a bit like saying, oh, I have blood in my veins, but I don't have any oxygen. That's ludicrous. All blood and oxygen go together hand in glove. Work and reporting around work go together like hand in glove. Water needs both hydrogen and oxygen in a certain ratio. So does work. Work requires work and the reporting of the status of the work. I know nobody's ever told you that before other than us, but it's a fundamental truth. And if you know that you might miss, if you believe there's risk to the deliverable, and we assume the deliverable has validity, right? Otherwise, we start assuming lack of validity and suddenly everything falls apart in organizational life. You're obligated to report it. The idea that your boss should know doesn't eliminate your responsibility to communicate it. In fact, yeah, your boss should know. He or she should have tracking data available to him or her. He should have put that into the system in such a way that makes it obvious to him or her. But whether your boss has or hasn't done that doesn't eliminate you're responsible for communicating it. And when you miss a deadline and you tell your boss a day late, by the way, I missed that deadline, or your boss comes to you and says, where's your stuff? And you say, yeah, I'm sorry, it's here now. And you're surprised that your boss is ticked off. The reason he or she is ticked off is because you didn't do part of your job, which is communicating about a miss. Your job is not to hide your miss. And frankly, I'll give you a good reason why. Because if you got it done early, you'd want him to know.
Yeah.
And communication is not about what helps you. Communication is about what serves the organization within the organization. So reporting early is a given. And if you've never heard that before, I feel terrible. This is why we're doing career tools and manager tools, is so that people will learn what organizational life is like. So when you're going to miss, don't keep information to yourself. Whoever sets the goal needs to know. Look, I don't mind when people miss. Just tell me. Gosh, if you just tell me. Okay, now look, if you're always missing, at some point that's going to be a problem. But if you miss and you don't tell me, that's a double whammy. So stuff happens. We understand. And we're willing to adjust if we're managers or executives. That's fine. Let us know. We'll make a change. It'll be okay. Not telling us is essentially misleading. To have information that affects the organization and to hide it, and we can say hide because it is incumbent upon you doing the work to communicate. If you choose not to communicate, you are choosing to hide. If you hide it, my professional phrase for right now is double whammy.
The hiding of it makes it worse. When you're a kid and you break something and you hide it, and then now you're living with the guilt and the fear that someone's going to find it and you're going to get told off. It's just, just own up and get told off if that's what's going to happen. And a lot of the time, if you report in March that you're going to miss a number in December, your boss is going to be so shocked that you came to him so early that they're not even going to tell you off. They're just going to be like, okay, what are we going to do about it?
Right. Exactly.
So if there's some mitigating factors, your boss might help you get a different number, change the number. Changing the number is, as long as you've agreed to it and there's reasons for it, changing the number is just adjusting to changes in information. It's not a bad or a good thing in itself. It just is. And alternatively, there might be no mitigating factors. You might have just been doing the wrong things, calling on the wrong customers or saying the wrong things, and you might need to have a new strategy.
Right.
So one of the numbers in recruitment is days to hire. So the number of days from when a manager says, I need someone, to the day that that person starts. And if you're missing that number, whatever that number is, and it's different in different industries and different companies, if you're missing it, you have to look from the very first part of the process all the way to the end. So am I getting the ad up quickly enough? Is the paperwork taking too long? Am I waiting to set up interview times with the hiring manager? I'm waiting until I have candidates rather than setting them up in advance and then filling them with candidates. And sometimes it's an incremental change on all of those things that makes you hit that number. And sometimes it's a radical change of, you know, we decide we, instead of doing 8 interviews, we're going to do 7. But the changing of the strategy helps you hit the number if you're missing because it's the strategy that's going wrong.
Right. Okay. So how do we avoid causing a ding on our career?
Yeah. Like being fired, it is not the end of the world.
And folks, lest you doubt it, if you're a new listener, Wendy and I come at this very professionally. Both she and I have been fired. We've talked about it in previous casts. We probably ought to put out a cast there about your story and my story. We're not ashamed of it at all. It happens. In fact, it's happened to almost every senior executive I know. My favorite one lately is Jamie Dimon, who's arguably one of the best managers I've ever known and is widely regarded as one of the best CEOs in modern financial history. And Jamie got fired one day. And of course, the great story is he says, I got fired. You know, my boss, Sandy Weil, and Jamie was the protege of Sandy, calls me in one day and says, I want your resignation. And by the way, guys, that's how senior people get fired. And we don't fire executives. We ask for the recommendation. And then we announce that they resigned to pursue other opportunities. So now you know what that means. But okay. All right. Sorry. A little tangent there.
That's all right. Yeah. So I was talking to someone this week and helping them through a situation. And I said, this is what happened when I was in a similar situation. And he said, when you fired from that job? Oh, yeah. But that doesn't stop me telling you what not to do. So being fired, missing your number is not the end of the world. Your family still loves you. You can still go on to be successful. Failure is not the end of the world. And the startup, I don't like a lot of memes and things from the startup community because I think that startup is very small and loud. Louder than it. Proportionally, there's a lot of talk about it.
And the only reason there's a lot of talk about it, actually, there was a lot of talk about startups for years and years and years when startups talked, but there was no audience for it because there wasn't the internet. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't like a lot of those memes, but one of the memes I like there is fail often and fail fast. So it's okay to fail. And it's if you're going to fail, don't hide the information. Go tell someone and start on a new strategy. That's how you don't limit your career. You minimize the time that the miss, the failure is happening by recognizing it early, doing something about it, and moving on to be successful. The example I picked was Steve Jobs. Like he got chucked out of his own company.
Yeah.
And then he came back and changed everything. The same with Howard Schultz, the Starbucks guy.
Howard Schultz, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a ton of examples. If you're having a bad day and you think I'm failing and I don't want to go tell my boss, well, there's some pretty successful people that have gone through this before.
Guys, take it from us. It's not the end of the world. Particularly if you have 6 months salary saved. Hello. We have a podcast for that too. You're going to make mistakes. It's possible you could get fired. I've told people this many, many times. It sounds counterintuitive, but I wish everybody could get fired once in their career. Mm-hmm. Now, some people handle it well. I'll never forget it. It was just like Indiana Jones in Raiders of the Lost Ark in the bar fight in Kathmandu or Nepal or wherever, where he thought he'd been shot and he reaches down to his chest to look for the blood in the bullet hole, and then he realizes the gunshot that he heard was his girlfriend killing the guy that had the drop on Indiana. And that's what it feels like. You think, oh my God, my life is over. And then you discover it's really not. And you know what? Now, I bounced back just fine. Wendy bounced back just fine. And maybe you wouldn't. Maybe, in fact, you'd have to start all over again. That could happen. And your pride will be terribly bruised. And you will be ashamed. And then gradually you'll work your way out of it. And I will tell you that you are not your work. And you don't need to be ashamed as often as it's happened to so many other people, and they went on to be just fine. And the only thing worse than getting fired is your failing. You fail and you get fired. The thing that's worse than that is failing, not communicating about it, and actually being fired because of the failure to communicate, the failure to be a professional. Don't do that to yourself. It's just wrong, and you think you can hide it, but every day that you're hiding it, you know, is a burden. And you know there's a part of your conscience. Every one of you listening has a conscience. And you know what you're doing is wrong. And you know that it's only making things worse. And you're hoping to get away with it. It's like robbing a bank and then knowing that they might find you. If you have a conscience, that won't work for very long. So don't do it. Just don't do it.
Just admit it. And if you do get fired, the thing you could do to compound the problem is to feel bad about it and just to sit at home and think, okay, I ruined my career. What am I, you know, I'm just going to sit here and, you know, not leave the house because I'm too ashamed or whatever. Yeah. The way to make it as small a problem as possible is to get back on the horse and find something else.
Yep.
And you will be astounded. When I was fired, I went to an interview with somebody and she said, I was explaining what happened. And she said, why were you fired? And I gave the kind of the short version. And she said, okay, well, tell me a bit more. And I gave her the longer version. And she said, oh, that sounds like a ridiculous setup. Moving on. Yeah. Okay, so you didn't care.
Yeah. So. Well, I actually think when I interviewed you, I said, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's surprising.
Yeah.
So that's how not to make it a big deal in your career is to move on.
Okay, so now how do we recover though?
Okay, so if you're going to stay in the company, if you weren't fired, I mean, there's three chunks of consequences that can happen if you miss a number. So there could be no consequences or minor consequences. You know, you say the competitive landscape has changed and everybody agrees with you and says, well, it was an impossible goal. Don't worry about it. Move on. There can be bigger consequences like being demoted or being moved to a job that you maybe didn't want or being denied a promotion, which is a kind of punishment, but it's not a big deal. And if you do that job awesomely, then people will soon forget why you got that job.
Yep.
And the third one is being fired, which we've just discussed. And early in your career, the most likely thing to happen is one of the small consequences. You'll probably get some negative feedback. You probably won't get a bonus.
You'll fall out of favor with your boss.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe if there's layoffs coming, you might be higher up the list than you would have done. It's less likely that you will be fired because your results are part of such a big whole. So if you're doing customer service, for example, and you work in a big call center, your results are part of 300 people's. And by the time they're aggregated, the whole department is still hitting its goals. So you're all right. So you probably will be, you know, there will be some consequences, but they're not the being fired kind of consequences.
Right.
So if you do miss that number, then the thing to do is have a day and, you know, commiserate with yourself and then go back with a new plan and a new attitude and start trying to hit your numbers.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get fired, guys. You're just not. And you increase the chance of getting fired by not communicating it. You increase the chance of getting fired by being perceived as not having a plan for how to succeed, or if you've caused a problem, how to get out of the predicament you're in. And you increase the chances that bad things will happen to you if you are not trying to plan ahead, if you're not thinking about to do in the future. You're also increase the chances that it's going to be a bad outcome, and it's going to be worse if it actually happens. If you don't have money in the bank, if you don't have a strong network, if you haven't kept your resume up to date, all this stuff is wellness stuff that you need to do in the event that capriciousness works against you. The chances of you being fired are pretty darn slim, unless you really do something unethical, which this cast is really not about. So, stop worrying about it. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. Okay? Your fear of failure, many people I know will tell you the reason they're successful is they fear failure. Okay, I'm all right with that. But turn your fear into a motivation to do something. Use the emotion to actually move. That's why emotion and motion are so similar, because how we feel moves us, and take action. Now, if you fear and you don't take any action, don't be surprised by the outcome you get. But you know what? If something bad happens to you, welcome to the crowd. Yeah. The list is long. It happens to everybody. Stop beating yourself up about it and get busy. All right. But now we could go on and on about this forever. And you and I are the two best people in the world to have this happen to us, because there were times I struggled early in my career. And I don't think when did I get fired? Oh gosh, it was 25 years ago. That's how you start a consulting firm, right? But let's talk about late career miss. What do we do there? That's harder.
Yeah, it is harder. But hopefully you've got a lot more experience and emotional stability to get you through it. So yeah, the later in your career you are, the more likely it is that you're more senior and that your misses have more consequences. So if your job is VP of customer service and those 300 people in the call center eventually report to you and the whole call center missed, then there's a good chance that you would get fired, because the consequence of your miss to the company is much bigger, and they can't have those kind of consequences around. And some of it is a balancing act. You know, sometimes if the company is doing well and it's just your department, you might survive because somebody else is making up for you. But on the other hand, you might not. You could be fired. And if you get away with one miss and then you have another miss, the chances of you being fired go up.
Exponentially.
100%.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. More than 100%. It's exponentially. Yeah. And by the way, guys, you are going to miss. The more senior you get, you are going to miss. What you make sure of is you don't miss on the big things, or if you're going to miss, you communicate in advance. And when you go to your boss and say, I'm going to miss, here's my plan for how to fix it.
Yeah. So what do you do if you get fired, or you get, again, moved to a job that you didn't want, or demoted? And there's a little bit more visibility to it, but the same actions apply. Get in touch with your network, buff up your resume, start interviewing if you've been fired. If you have been moved to a job that you don't want, or you've been demoted, then work out how to perform in that job and start performing. Because, you know, people have really short memories. If you have a really good year, even if the year before that was rubbish, people will only remember the good year.
Yeah.
You know, people's memories for other people's stuff is really short.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, there are some people who will crow or be pleased or will sneer at you if you get fired. They aren't your friends, okay? And if you think someone's your friend who, when you get fired, well, I could have told you that would happen, or is any way not supportive, then you were mistaken before about them being your friend. Folks, we'll just tell you, if you get fired, send us an email. First of all, we'll try to cheer you up, and we'll make some recommendations about what to do. Life is not perfect, okay? It's not. Life is not about perfect. You're human. You're going to make mistakes. Sometimes, you know what? The wind just blows the wrong way, and It's like I can't think of the lead. Oh, Tim Robbins' character in Shawshank Redemption, one of the great movies of all times. He says, "You know, I didn't expect the tornado to go on this long, but sometimes you're just in the eye of the storm, and it happens to you, and it does." And you get yourself up and dust yourself off and say, "Oh well." And I encourage you. I'm not going to quote it, but one of my favorite poems in the world is "If." That's I-F, "If" by Rudyard Kipling. And I encourage you to read it. And more importantly than reading, have a listen to it. And I don't mean a recording of it, but listen to it with your head and your heart, and you'll discover that things will be okay.
Yeah. And that's over the top of the Centre Court at Wimbledon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when you walk out the tunnel into Wimbledon.
As a player, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a good quote. And I always think, if you made a mistake and you got fired, then you've paid your debt for that mistake.
It's all
done. It's equal. You know, for as much as we, you know, if somebody commits a crime, we put them in prison and then we say they've paid their debt to society. And in theory, we wipe the slate clean. Or do it for yourself. Say, I've paid my debt, and wipe it clean. And if you have to take a backward step, then take it and do it with gusto. Do, you know, be the best. Whatever the backwards step, you know, if you were VP of sales and now you have to be a sales rep, be the best sales rep you can be. And the company that hired you after you got fired are like, are we the luckiest people in the world to have got him?
Yeah.
You know, that'll soon change your attitude towards yourself and the people around you.
Yep. Good.
Should I sum up?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So don't miss numbers. That solves all the problems. Report early. Don't let missing limit your career. And then we talked about recovering from an early miss, which is you probably won't get fired, but start working harder and be a success. And recovering from a late miss, which is you could well be fired and do the same thing. Start finding something new and be successful at it.
And folks, if you get fired, we'll be your friends.
Oh, trust me. We will. We've got war stories.
Be an ethical professional. Do your best. And sometimes things work against you, and that's okay. Sometimes you're going to miss. It's normal. I got a list of misses as long as my arm, okay? Life is not about perfect. Life is about loving other people and doing your best and accepting that the outcomes the world give you are outside of your control.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. First in a series about mistakes that people make in their careers, how to not make them, and how to recover from them.